702, celebrating classic South African writers with the Department of Arts and Culture, live from the cradle of humankind.
We are indeed broadcasting live from the Cradle of Humankind. We are at the Cradle Boutique Hotel, and we are, of course, sticking with all things literary. Karabo Kholeng joins me on the line. She's, of course, a resident literary journalist. Karabo, always fabulous to talk to you. This morning, we're looking at Sankomota, an ode in one album by Phehello Mofokeng. Tell me about that.
Good morning, Refilwe. Good morning. Yes, I think it's so special that we're discussing this book today. Sankomota, the album titled with the same name, Sankomota, 1983, it was their debut album.
Yeah.
And they had just changed their name from, they were a band called Uhuru, but then there was a big festival and there was a band from Jamaica, so they decided to change the name to Sankomota. Mm-hmm. And Phehello Mofokeng is, you know, he gives a celebration to this band, and particularly Ntate Frank Leepa, who is the founding member and the lead. This is before Tepo Tsola, because everybody knows Sankomota and Tepo Tsola, which is fair enough. But this particular album, Phehello celebrated not just as a work of music, but also as a work of oral literature. He goes into Sesotho idiom, and he gives his idea of, you know, where the name Sankomota comes from, and how Sesotho culture is celebrated through this music, and how it recenters Sesotho identity, and the role that Sankomota played in the 80s, where there was already a resurgence of traditional Sesotho music, where you had Mparanyana, Babsi Mlangeni, Steve Kekana.
Yeah.
Phehello argues that Sankomota rose above the fashionable moment, giving two reasons for that. He says, you know, in the disco culture, in English, it was ending, and many artists were going back to their roots and seeking comfort in their languages. Right? Many artists were also going back to political consciousness, even ignoring the censors. And we see the increase in the popularity of maskandi, mbaganga, and singing in the comfort of their own languages, to quote Phehello Mofokeng. This book, I mean, he writes so lyrically about Sankomota. Yeah. And what I did is that as I was reading this book, I actually listened to that album as I was reading it. You know, and it just gives you, it's 145 pages. It's not a long book, but it is so rich, and the depth, and even teaching about Sesotho culture, and looking at the Sankomota Sesotho musical influences like Mokorotlo or Modianyewu, which is, you know, Mokorotlo is the song that is sung before war, and Modianyewu is judgment, and these were sort of the male elements. Mohobelo, which is about endurance, and then looking at the female element of it, Mukibo or Mukibo, where women are dancing on their knees, and then sort of bring it all together and looking back at issues of self-determination, self-reliance, and self-love as African people. And he also touches on the effects of the migrant labor system on the region of Southern Africa, and that it has never beneficiated the people who are indigenous to the land. And Sankomota's music looks back at that and speaks about, you know, the value of hard work. But then, you know, the hard work needs to be something that you do from love, from a place of love and for society, not just for capital, you know?
Yeah.
So,
you know, Karabo.
Yes.
I want to ask you to just go back just a little bit, because, you know, I'm trying not to talk too much and get overly excited, because I think for a lot of South Africans, myself especially, Sankomota, the band, the music is such, it holds such an important and significant place in all our lives. I dare anyone to say that they did not grow up on this music, that it's not, it hasn't been central, you know, to some kind of celebration or family gathering, and doesn't figure in, you know, in a lot of our identity. So from that basis, when you talk about this, how Sankomota sort of reimagined or re-centered Sesotho identity, what are the aspects that he that are negotiated from that perspective in the book?
Well, in terms of Sesotho identity, it's kind of central, but at the same time, it's pan-African in terms of even with the album itself. So there are songs that are in isiZulu. There are songs, you know, there's that mix and match with Setswana and Sepedi, you know, because that's how we roll as like Sesotho-speaking people, right? Sesotho is like basically our base language, but it goes to, you know, there's Kiswahili songs, because Kiswahili is also our root language. And then he also uses English. But in terms of how he centers it, like going back to, you know, the musical influences come from it's a sociocultural practice. Uh-huh. So it's about so looking at issues like, you know, Mudiranyeo, for example, is, you know, we know it as the hat, but it's also about the process of dealing with trials, right? So when you have a situation, maybe someone's been wronged and it's something mm-hmm. that is an upset in society, right? And how the chief goes about delivering judgment, right? He takes off the hat, right? Which is also a sign of respect. And after lots of deliberation to give the judgment, which is like, how are we going to fix what is upset in our society? And then the different roles that people play in society in terms of ritual, and how ritual comes with rhythm, and it's about something that you do regularly, and it's about acknowledging the earth that you live on, So it's also about, you know, in terms of respecting the environment around you. So, you know, when you speak about issues of climate change and not respecting the earth, so it all sort of goes back to that sort of that practice of honoring the earth that is your home while you're here, but also respecting the people around you, you know, respecting your totem, that, you know, the totem animal that you're not allowed to eat because it's the animal that you have to share the environment with. So it also goes into that. So Pelo actually like gives that background, but then he also celebrates like the different songs, because even in terms of the musical influences, there's a bit of reggae here and there, there's touches of R&B, but then there's also like even in terms of the guttural sounds that we make, right, in terms of our traditional music, you know, Sankomota sort of celebrate that, which is why, you know, you really do feel it in your solar plexus. And you have to listen to the Sankomota, the 1983 album, the first album of Sankomota. You need to listen to that album while you read an Ode in One album by Pelo Mofokeng.
Karabo, I am so moved. I know exactly what I'll be doing this week. Thank you so much for highlighting this book, particularly for us. I'm really looking forward to reading through it and delving back 36 years, 1983, the Sankomota album. Yeah. Thank you so much, Karabo.
Thank you, Rifilwe.